You are listening to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 75. We're the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin and a proud member of the Comic Book Podcast Network. So welcome along to everybody who is out there listening. And as you listen to this, I am in Scotland. At least that's the plan, on vacation. And hopefully these episodes have broadcast themselves automatically without any help from the outside. Though you never know. The way the internet operates and the way that sometimes these podcasting things operate. And hopefully that these shows will go out on time and I don't have to actually manually send them out when I get home. That's like my biggest fear, is that you guys go for a couple weeks without a show. And I suppose it could be worse. I mean, it could be, you know, that they never come out. Anyway, I would rather have them come out on time than not. But of course, because I've been recording several of these shows, not exactly in a row, but you know, within days of each other as opposed to weeks of each other, I really don't have any kind of new news or anything like that. So I guess we'll just go ahead and move along to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
And this week we wrap up Thor Blood Oath with issue number 6. It has a cover date of February of 2006, retailed for $2.99, which is $4.25 in Canada. And the creative team is the same as last time. Michael Avon Irming was the writer, Scott Collins was the penciler, and Will Quintana was the colorist. I don't know if there were any other personnel changes between last issue and this, because interestingly enough, there are no credits in this issue. Very, very weird. Anyway, we have our familiar Celtic bordered cover here, and instead of the skull falling down, we just have this little lump of rocks. I guess the skull has fallen off the cover at this point. And standing in the frame of the picture with his cape blowing in the breeze is Thor, holding his hammer in front of him. And we have a recap here on the splash page, and I might as well just read it. Thor, God of Thunder, and his Oath brothers, the Warriors Three, have set upon a journey to recover magical items in payment for the accidental killing of a giant sun. To the top of Yggdrasil, the World Tree, they have traveled, to the land of the Greek gods to battle Hercules, and to the hills of modern-day Ireland have they trod. Now in the ancient landscape of Japan, they seek to recover the mighty sword, Grass Cutter, which is guarded by those it has slain over the centuries. And we pick up where we left off last issue. Remember, the Thor and the Warriors Three have emerged into this temple, which is full of ghosts. Yes, and some of them are just kind of skull-faced flying ghosts, and other more demonic ghosts. And these are the ones who have flaming skulls, so a whole room full of Ghost Rider, something like that. I think I mentioned this last time, but the artwork, especially on these ghosts, reminds me of a cross between Mike Mignola and P. Craig Russell. So I'm a big fan of both of these artists, so I think it's pretty darn cool. So anyway, they're confronting the spirits here, and one of the spirits speaks to Thor. He says, "Who dares step into the land of those who fell beneath the grass cutter's blade? This is the keep of the dead. No man may enter." "We are not men, but gods who seek the blade," says Thor. "We come to borrow the blade or die in battle to do so." To their surprise, all of the ghosts kneel down and bow to them. "For 1,000 years, no one has been brave enough to face the ghosts of the grass cutter, as it is guarded by all the souls it has taken in its time. Every hero who made the journey thought they would have to fight this ghost army. They fled or died of fright upon our sight. In truth, they only had to ask. This is our curse. The ghost army hates the sword, for not only has it slain us, but we are imprisoned within the temple until it is taken away. And Fandral asks who the armies outside are. They fight for the sword. Mikaboshi, the god of evil, longs for it. Other lords protect it. We care not whose hands it falls to, for we long for this world no longer. But what of others in this world? Do they not care for the living? And they get no answer, but the crowd of ghosts parts, and they continue to bow to them. And we see that the sword is being held by a raccoon. Well, it's not a raccoon exactly. It's a tanuki, which is similar to a raccoon. Except this one doesn't have giant testicles the way they normally do. Anyway, so this tanuki is holding the sword and offering it to the gods, saying,
"If they knew what awaited them after this world, they would not cling to it. So take this and do what you will."
And the tanuki hands the sword to Thor. And Thor looks at it respectfully, and I guess he's bowing to the tanuki. That's what it looks like, and that would make sense, being in Japan and all. And Thor turns around and gives the sword to Fandral. It says, Fandral shall take it, for he is the best of us with the blade. This blade honors me, and I shall honor it.
Just take it from this place. Now we are free of this burden. We can pass on to our own worlds.
And all the ghosts almost look happy here. And we hear a thoom coming from out front. Remember, Volstagg was holding the door against the armies who were attacking the temple. And they go out to the stairway, and Volstagg is still there. And he's holding back the door or whatever. And he says, "I hope thou art finished with thy task, brothers. I think now would be a good time to use your hammer." And Thor does the Ajax White Tornado thing and spins it around. And with a crack-a-foosh, the Warriors 3 and Thor, along with the sword grass cutter, vanish. And we see on the next page, beautiful double page spread here, as they appear elsewhere. And the Ajax White Tornado drops them off in the middle of a huge sandstorm. And it's going, woo! I guess that's supposed to be the wind. And somebody's saying, "Odin's beard, where are we?" And Thor says, "Within the land of the Egyptian gods. This is our final task, to make 3 calls upon the Hill of Thoth. If we can find it in this blasted storm..." And Thor's like, "Hey, I can control the weather, that's my gig. The weather is still at my call, even here. Mjolnir grants me true control. Still, I think I can. Hear the will of Thor, winds, and calm yourself. Or I am the son of Gaea, child of earth and weather." And this is something that we haven't really gotten to in the comic yet, but we talked about a little bit back in episode number 50. And it calms the weather just enough that they see where they are, and they're standing in a desert, obviously. And it's nighttime, and there's a beautiful star-spangled sky above them, and the moon is coming up, and there's this huge Egyptian-style temple there, and it's guarded by 3 huge snake-headed, I guess, really, I should say cobra-headed statues. At least they look like statues. And Hogan says, "Brothers, we are in the presence of gods." And they are, indeed. It's a pretty spectacular sight here. These Egyptian gods are absolutely enormous. They're 12 times bigger than Thor and the Warriors 3 are. And Thor speaks out and says, "We seek entrance to the Hill of Thoth." And one of the statues raises a finger and is like, "Shh." Just like a librarian, you know? Anyway, but this has the effect of burying them underneath the sand. It's like the sand sucks them down into it. And all is quiet for a moment as they dig themselves out. And we see a hand emerge, and that's Thor reaching up. And and Volstagg gets his head above the sand. He's like, "That is a mighty trick. But my brothers and I have better." And they do this sort of fastball express thing, like Colossus and Wolverine did in X-Men, where Volstagg throws Fandral at one of the colossal gods here. And with a katraka, Fandral slashes at the wristband of this god. And "These beasts may be of flesh on the surface, but of cursed sand and stone within. Much like your head, Volstagg." And Volstagg's like, "Yeah, very funny." And he slices at the hand, and the hand falls and lands on top of Volstagg. It's like, ugh. And Hogan has an idea, and he's like, and says, let it loose, brother. And he's talking about the Spear of Cullen. We talked about spear slaughter. So they unwrap the spear, and they don't even have to throw it. It's like before they can do anything, the spear takes off after the Colossus with a rah. And Thor says, Odin's eye. It flies from my hand with a lust for striking. And Fandral cuts off the fingers of this giant hand that's holding Volstagg. And he's real happy with the sword that he has here. And he's like, with this sword, I cannot misstep. And the spear goes plunging into the breast of one of the gods. And he's hissing really loud. It goes, Kakasharaka. And he's going, being a snake. And with a giant kashoosh and crackaraka, that god, I guess, is dead. And one of the other gods is stomping around, trying to smush Hogan. And it's going thoom, thoom as he stomps around. And just as Hogan is about to be crushed, Volstagg catches the giant's foot and keeps it from crushing Hogan. And Fandral's like, whoa, brother, rarely have I seen such strength. And Volstagg going, tis a compliment. My ears must be tricking me again. Hogan has decided to take off to the hill, the hill of Thoth that we talked about earlier. And he's running up, and his feet keep sinking down into the sand. And he realizes that he is being attacked by these huge magenta-colored scorpions. And they're crawling all over him as he reaches the top of the hill. And he struggles up to his feet. And he gives out some shouts. He goes, Odin! And one of the gods is like, no! He's like, Thor! And as that happens, you hear a shrack. And the giant looks like he's starting to explode. And he screams out, Thoth! And he, you know, so he's succeeded in yelling three times. And he falls down. And he notices a shadow looming above him, and he's like, what are you? And he's hit by a powerful fist and sends Hogan flying. And with a pow, Hogan is sent to where Thor and the rest of the Warriors 3 are standing. And we just see Thor looking angry here with a giant tumor on his chin. And he's like, arr! And he recognizes none other than his old enemy, Ulek. Yes, Ulek. The mightiest trolls, Ulek, whose name gets repeated multiple times during his first appearance. The mightiest troll of all. And he's got his pounders and all this. He looks very much like he did in his first appearance with Jack Kirby drawing him. And he's got a nifty breastplate with kind of his, almost like a skull and crossbones thing on it. And he's got his fist pounders. Remember, this is kind of his weapon of choice. And he's like, Ulek. He's like, Thor. Knives would not let you complete this task. He sent me here to await you. All one had to do was not speak to enter the hill. I owe Knives a small favor, but the thought of crushing you here would bring me greater pleasure than any favor.
Thor gives the spear back to Volstagg. It says, here, brothers, take this, cover its fury. And Thor's like, you know nothing of honor, Ulek. You and Knives have broken the blood oath we swore to abide by. I am free of my word to keep still Mjolnir. And goes rushing, and they collide with a Fathoom. Thor's like, oaths are broken and my fury is unleashed. And he and Ulek are fighting hand to hand, and Ulek's pounding at him, and Thor manages to knock him aside with his hammer, and it's like, Thoom, Thoom. And all of a sudden there's this mighty rumble. It's like, rumble. The sound effect is rumble. And we see a giant ibis head emerging from the sand. And it turns out to be the god Thoth himself. And he's like, you disturb the slumber of Thoth, barbarian lords. Be gone to thine own lands and return no more, or there shall be war in the heavens. And with a wave of his hand, he sends the Warriors 3 and Thor and Ulek back to the Althing. Place of judgment. And Odin is there, and he's holding his scepter, and all, you know, the giants and stuff sitting around. It's like,
the sons of Asgard have returned, sent by the god Thoth, and routed by my hand to this time and place. We await the outcome of your journey.
And Thor points out, Ulek is a tool of the giants. They have broken their oaths. And the Knives is like, "Lo, the Thunder God cheats." Thor tosses Ulic at the feet of Knives and says, "Here, take your sad weapon. Your cheating ways spit in our face. You have no honor." And Thor is getting ready to strike at the giants, and all the Asgardians are raising up their spears and swords like, "Yeah, yeah, war." And Odin's like, "If this be so, then our truce is broken, and war is upon your hands." And Knives is like, "War! War is but a love song in my ears. To war, brothers, war!" And the giants are also pretty excited. At the feet of all the giants is Ulic, who's positively tiny in comparison. And he's like, "Yeah, war! Yeah!" And all of a sudden you hear a voice, "Stop this! Stop! This is not what I want!" The troll Knives is like, "Ulif, what is it, wife? Why do you speak?" "No, you don't. No, this is not what I wanted. This is what you wanted."
"What are you speaking of, woman?"
"I wanted honor for my son, not war for you. War is what you want. To be away from home for years at a time with the boys. Running around in battle for years as I tend the farm and run the land and feed the children and tend the kingdom at home."
"War is no party, woman."
"For you it is. For me it means work. Tending the farm bees, chopping the wood, building homes. All the work you hate and would so gladly turn in for years of war. Fun for you and the boys, I say."
And Odin is mightily amused by this. "Hold back, Asgardians. I believe Knives has already met his doom this day."
"Lords of the Aesir, let us not go into the season of war, but simply honor my child. Dumb as he was, he deserves this little. My husband seeks only war and knows nothing else. Such that there is more to life than battle. There shall never be true peace between us as giants and gods quarrel like brothers. As that is what we are. We all share the same roots. We are all from the same great source of Gudingagap, the great nothingness from whence all life sprang."
"You speak wise words, Ulif, queen of the giants."
"All I ask is that the warriors three and your son retrieve his body and give him a burial of honor. I shall deal with my husband."
And Thor, with a very large tumor on his face, says, "A friend once spoke similar words to me of our shared beginnings. Mayhap one day we shall come to see the truth and end all wars for good. Though I fear that day is long off, my brothers and I swear to honor your son. Njord himself, Lord of the Sea, shall reach deep into the waters and bring your son's body to the surface." And we see that happening here in the lower half of the page. And there's a silhouette of a god, and there's a big giant bubble jet coming up from the bottom, pushing this rotting whale back to the surface. "We shall gather on an island between the land of Jotunheim and the gods as a testament to the common ground we may once find again." And they see the warriors three and Thor building a giant scaffolding. And "There, Volstagg, Hogan, and Fendril and myself shall build a great temple ourselves, and the gods and I shall carve in a stone in the memory of our making, whose origins are shared with the giants. The tale of how Odin made all the worlds of the giant Ymir's body, the clouds of his brains, the seas of his blood, the trees of his hair shall adorn the tomb. In this way, all the gods and giants will know our shared roots and hope they blossom into peace one day." And basically they're showing they've built this giant platform, and we see the body of the giant, and it's burning. Crackle, 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 which is quite a shock if you're not quite dead. Monty Python reference, guys. Take a drink. "And we shall set a great fire in its place, and we will honor the life of your fallen boy, as gods and giants do together. Though our peace may be fleeting, it shall be true that day." And we see the giants on one side and the Aesir on the other side as the body is burning. And we then shift scenes back to Earth, and it's sometime later. And Don Blake is in the cafeteria of the hospital eating lunch all by himself. Aw, poor Don Blake. And he's thinking to himself, "I hope Jane isn't still mad at me for standing her up at the DNA conference. Everything she said about DNA and mythology, science and God. It's all so true. If only I could tell her how right she is. Oh, here she is now." And he's like, "Jane." And she's like, "Huh." And gives him the cold shoulder. "I didn't need the Celtic seeing powers of Frood to have seen that coming. Well, the universe may be one, but it looks as I'll be alone for quite some time."
Wee, 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 wee.
And that is
Thor Blood Oath number 6. So, what to say about it? Well, I think they wrapped it up nicely. I would have liked it to have been a little bit more difficult for them to get Grass Cutter. I mean, it seems like the dead gave it up really easily, but maybe that was the point. I mean, you can't have a big fight every time you want to borrow something. Now, I wonder what happens to all these treasures now. I mean, obviously, they went to go get the apple. I don't think they're going to want to return that. The spear, yeah, okay, maybe they'll go back, but they really kind of can't because they destroyed the stone that had the portal. And, of course, I suppose they could go to Olympus anytime and give Dionysus the skin of his pig back. But anyway, like I said, beautiful artwork, and particularly, I think, really, you have the scenes of the ghosts and the temple, absolutely gorgeous stuff. I just can't even begin to say. But yet, you have just as gorgeous and yet completely different. You have the double page spread on page 16 and 17 of the giants and the gods facing off at the All Thing, you know, when they say that the truce is broken and war is upon our hands. And then just amazing amount of detail that Scott Collins has put into these pages, from, you know, the crackle around Thor's hammer, the lightning, to the really ornate armor that Knives is wearing, to, you know, the nose rings and the headgear, the various other giants, and even Ulic down there going, "Hey, I'm here too." All throughout of this series, you have this enormous attention to detail, and that's something that I respond to really, really positively pretty much all the time. And even to the point of little bits of continuity. And one of the examples that I'll point out right away is that in this issue, when Hogan is up on the hill crying out, "Odin, Thor," all that stuff, you see that his costume is slit right up the chest. And this is carried over from a couple of issues ago, where Coolin is attacking with the spear and slashes up the front of Hogan's uniform. And, you know, Scott Collins didn't forget about it. I mean, I would have forgotten about it if I hadn't seen that there. But that's just the sort of attention to detail that makes the art on this so good. You know, I think that the story is incredibly well-paced. Now, like I said, they paced it for the 6-issue series, you know, because they're pacing it for a trade. And so you have a very neat beginning, middle, and end to the story in 6 individual episodes, some of which are longer than the others, but that's okay. I mean, it seems like we spent an awful lot of time in Olympus when you compare it to the amount of time that we spent in Egypt, which was something like, you know, 6 pages, something like that. Maybe a little more than that. But it just seemed like a really short amount of time that they're spending doing this. So that's Thor Blood Oath, and I hope you all enjoyed it. Like I said, I'm on vacation right now, and hopefully we'll be back next week here, and we will have another kind of probably a makeup show, because I'm going to be getting back on a Sunday and I need to record the show and get it up, blah, blah, blah. Not really sure exactly how the time frame's working out at this point. So anyway, thanks very much for listening. Go ahead and call it a show. And we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard.